Welcome to Global Talk, a foreign affairs podcast from The National. On the line today, we have Mohamed Sidat, who has just returned to the UK from Idomeni in Greece, where he was helping to distribute aid to refugees as they crossed the border into Macedonia. Mohamed, an academic from Preston in the northwest of England, was working with the UK-based charity Syria Relief. Here, he talks to us about what he saw on his trip and the stories he heard. So first of all, can you tell us a bit about the work you were doing in Greece and what motivated you to go?
Okay, well, a tough question because when we got to the Greece-Macedonian border, I remember a Syrian refugee that sat with me and he asked me the same question, and he said, what brings you here? What has motivated you to come here? And I actually paused for a second and thought, yeah, what has brought me here? And it's mainly I visited Syria back in 2013, monitoring and evaluating the situation on the ground for a local charity based in Manchester by the name Syria Relief. And I remember going to Syria and seeing the situation there and how the people were suffering. And when this crisis happened, I just had to do something about it. I couldn't bear seeing people suffering, trying to cross borders and into countries. So I then decided to start a Just Giving page, you know, online. Syria Relief were doing a emergency relief campaign. So I set up the Just Giving page, and I only started at £5,000, and within 48 hours, I'd raised £10,000, and as it stands, it's at £15,000 now. So I felt it was important that I go and again monitor and evaluate the situation on the ground and make sure that the money I raised was being spent in the right way.
So how did that money get spent? What was the work being done on the border?
We were distributing water because temperatures were reaching around 30 degrees and it was hot. So we made sure that all the refugees were kept, you know, hydrated and didn't dehydrate. And there's also small children there, so making sure that they have caps on their heads. We also distributed dry fruit food. Food which was cooked by the local people. We also distributed female hygiene packs, and these are very important if they were going on the journey. And also we distributed nappies, and we had an area where local people had donated clothes and shoes, and we found a lot of the refugees had slippers on and didn't have the right footwear to continue their journey. So they would then swap their shoes and make sure they've got some good footwear on.
And for the people that are listening to this podcast and maybe having difficulty imagining what it's like on the border, could you briefly just sort of set the scene for us and describe what you saw when you arrived there?
Yeah, so the moment I got out of the car, there was a really bad stench in the camp. A week before, the Macedonian border was closed, so there was around 7,000 refugees who'd actually camped out. And there was rubbish everywhere. There was clothes, there was trainers, there were shoes. It was then, as a group, we decided to clean the camp. And I remember cleaning the camp and picking up nappies, bottles which had urine inside, and clothes which were used to clean themselves after they relieved themselves. So as the refugees arrive, There's silence for a couple of minutes because no one knows what's going on, and the refugees don't know what's going on. They don't know where they're going or what's happening. And it is then when we as a group ask the refugees if anyone needs any medical attention. And usually people are too afraid to say, or you know, they don't trust you, or they don't know who you are. Once they've been dropped off at the local train station, they'll walk down 1 kilometer and they will walk down a live train track. So during the day, there were many times when a train would you know, come by and we would have to move all the refugees to one side and make sure everybody is safe. So they are actually walking down a live train track.
And what reaction were you getting from the refugees when you were giving them these supplies?
What we found, a lot of the refugees, some refugees that travel, were travelling for 15 days. So what happens is they would travel from Turkey, come to the port of Athens. From Athens, they would catch a coach where they pay 50 euros per person. The coach is then 6 hours to Kilkis, and then they would get dropped off at the local train station there, and they would walk along the train track for 1 kilometer. And this is where the refugees are really hungry, they're tired, some needing medical attention, and as they were approaching the Greece Macedonian border, they were very happy to see people who were willing to assist them with aid, with food and water, and the United Nations had some, you know, toilets fitted there as well, and camp showers. So yeah, I think people felt very relieved that finally somebody is assisting them, and you know, we heard many refugees thanking us.
And did you get a chance to hear any of their stories and why they had decided to make the dangerous and costly journey to Europe?
Yes, it's always hard in a refugee crisis to take photographs or ask people where they're coming from, especially the Syrian refugees. What you'll find in this refugee crisis, you have a number of refugees from all parts of the world. So I came across refugees from Iraq, from Kurdistan, from Afghanistan, from Pakistan, from Bangladesh, some Indians, and there was also a group from Ghana which arrived. So I'm guessing these refugees were already in Europe and using the opportunity to cross into another country. So talking to the Syrian refugees, it was hard listening or finding out and you know, you could say investigating, you know, why they've made this journey, because of the fear from the conflict back home. And a lot of them said, we have brothers and sisters and family back in Syria. And we're scared that if our story comes out or pictures come out or we're on video, then our family could be targeted back in Syria. Once you build trust with a few people, and we asked them, you know, why have you made this journey, and they say it's due to the conflict back in Syria, and they say we can't see any hope back in our country, and I'd say 99% of the Syrian refugees that are making the journey for their children, for a better future, and they were saying, well, we want our children to have the best future and the best education. We met one man who was from Damascus. He travelled via Turkey. He travelled for 15 days. He spent 3 hours crossing the Aegean Sea from Turkey, went to Lesbos, then into Greece. He'd actually walked with his wife and his child for over 70 kilometres. And then once they got to a safe zone, the police, they were give granted a letter from the police, you know, to say they can move on to the next destination. We asked him, you know, where are you heading from here? And he said he's going to Germany. And I asked him why, and he said, you know, for my little daughter. So I asked him, I said, what's your little daughter called? And he said, she's called Raneem. And then I asked him, what does Raneem mean in Arabic? And he said, an angel sound of an angel. Mm-hmm. So then I said, if there was one message you would give to the world, what would it be? And he said, stop the war, and all we want is peace.
You can find a gallery of photos that Mohammed took on his trip and follow our coverage of the refugee crisis at thenational.ae/world.